Your recording has now been started. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Sam. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the UDRP domain name lock working group meeting on the 7th of March 2013. On the call today, we have Michaela Nalen, Matt Schneller, Alan Greenberg, Laurie Anderson, Christine Durain, Pai Gray, and for David Oach-Turner, and Luke Sosa. We have apologies from Celia Lehman, Hegel DeFalla, Gabriela Schleck, David Mayer, and David Oach-Turner. From staff, we have Marika Koenigs, Barry Cobb, Lars Hoffman, and myself, Matthew Perrigan. I'd like to remind all participants to state their names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Michaela.
All right, thank you. Okay, then. I don't think Volker is on this call today, is he? I think he should be added to the excuses list since Luke and I know that he is off gallivanting.
Okay.
Yes. If you had an option on the thing to put in your reason why the person is absent, it would make for an interesting make it much more interesting. Okay. As per usual, I have to ask you all if you have any changes to your statements of interest and all that. Anybody change allegiances recently? No? Alan, have you become a capitalist in the last week or so?
I wish.
Okay. I haven't converted to communism or anything weird. I can't imagine many others have. Right then, so moving on. Okay,
I mean, I've always been a capitalist. I just don't earn any money at it.
Oh, right, yeah, okay. You're just not a very good capitalist.
Indeed.
A bit like me. Okay, we are in the kind of, I was trying to think of a metaphor. We are in the final furlough, or whatever the metaphor is, where we can see light at the end of the tunnel in many respects. We're moving forward. The end is nigh. So, at this juncture, there's a couple of things we need to do. No, Luke, we're not going to die. That's when you're coming towards the light. It's a different concept. Now, what we need to do is agree on a few things or disagree on them. And disagreeing is perfectly okay as well. So, on our agenda for today is to assess the level of consensus for the preliminary recommendations. So this is where I'm talking about to you about agreement and disagreement. It is perfectly okay for us to disagree on certain matters. And we're all adults, so we're not going to have tantrums, I hope. We should also have a look at the expected impact of the proposed recommendations. And then there's a few proposals and options that we need to have a quick look at. We need to confirm the deadline for submissions of comments on the initial report. Actually, hold on a second, I don't have a context. Sorry, Marika, was that in relation to the comment period or our own comments?
No, this is Marika. That is our own comments, because presumably people want to have a final review, so we need a cut-off date so we can publish by the 15th.
Perfect. Sorry, you have to bear the fact that I've been in a meeting since I came into the office this morning, talking to a software vendor, so my brain isn't quite in the zone yet, if it ever is. And then, of course, with our usual next steps, confirm next meeting, which will have a couple of interesting tweaks to it due to time zone, time differences, changes, clocks, and GNSO meetings. Marika, or somebody, do you have that wonderful definition document on ICANN's definitions of consensus, or a link to it?
This is Marika. If you give me 2 seconds, I can probably post the level of consensus in our chat window.
Perfect. Okay, just to explain this, it's just because ICANN has already discussed at length, like everything ICANN does, it's been discussed at length, the concept of consensus and has come up with a number of levels of consensus so that we don't have to do that. We just have to decide which level is appropriate for each recommendation. So, I mean, some of the stuff is pretty damn obvious. Full consensus, which you can also call unanimous consensus, So assuming that most of us don't live in totalitarian dictatorships, you know, you understand that idea. So for consensus, when no one in the group speaks against the recommendation in its last readings, this is also sometimes referred to as unanimous consensus. Consensus, a position where only a small minority disagrees, but most agree. Strong support with significant opposition. A position where I'm like, well, most of the group supports a recommendation, there are a significant number of the group who don't. Divergence, which also can be called no consensus, position where there isn't strong support for any particular position, but many different points of view. Sometimes this is due to irreconcilable differences of opinion, and sometimes it's due to the fact that no one has a particularly strong or convincing viewpoint. But the members of the group agree that it is worth listing the issue in the report nonetheless. And then, of course, you have minority view, which refers to a position where a small number of people support the recommendation. This can happen in response to a consensus. Strong support but significant opposition and no consensus. Or it can happen in cases where there is neither support nor opposition to a suggestion made by a small group of individuals. Number of individuals, beg your pardon. For those of you who've been around for a while, these are probably not strange terms. For some of you who haven't been around as long, this might be slightly new. Does anybody have any queries, questions, or comments on these? Marika, please, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. I think something we have done in other working groups is basically saying, because, you know, these are still preliminary recommendations. I think we've said in other working groups something like, these appear to have, you know, consensus or full consensus at this stage, but it doesn't take away the right from the working group, you know, to change its views depending on the public comment and a final determination will be made in the final report. That gives us a bit of flexibility, but at the same time shows that at this stage there appears to be, I think, at least consensus, or at least I haven't seen anyone objecting to any of the recommendations as they currently stand. But still it shows that, you know, we have some leeway in possibly making changes or people, you know, changing their minds depending on what feedback is received as part of the public comment forum.
So in summary, Marika, one could say that we can just summarize it by saying that, you know, this is our current status at time of publishing. I mean, that we reserve the right to change this based on feedback from the community or something like that.
Right.
Okay. Cool. Any? Oh my God! Hands have gone up. Mm-hmm. Wow! Excellent. So we will go to the Canadian jury first, and then we will follow up with the U.S. jury. So we'll go to Alan and then Christine.
Thank you. Just pointing out that according to the rules, we cannot judge consensus purely by those on calls. Consensus calls must include anyone who's nominally on the working group, which implies who's on the email list.
So just by way of clarification, and thanks for that, Alan, basically what that means is we need to assess consensus via the working group's mailing list.
You need to call for any dissension that way.
Okay.
There were large or strong conversations at the time, and there were a few people no longer on council, so it's not clear that it would still be the rule if we were to try to assess it again. But the rule was you could participate in a mailing in a work be deemed to participate in the working group and never show up at any meetings.
And I'll have to say
you in theory are contributing on the mailing list when necessary and listening diligently to all of the recordings after the fact. I personally strongly doubt that happens, but that is what got put in the rules.
Okay, Christine.
Hi, thanks. This is Christine from Mass. Say, I just wanted to point out, I don't know if this is important, if this is appropriate to discuss right now because we're talking about consensus, but I think that the initial report actually has an error in it. I found at least one place where there something was, I think, misstated. So that, are we talking about that now, or are we only talking about the definition of consensus right now?
Okay. Christine, with respect to these errors, are they, how can I put this, are these kind of syntactical errors, typos, or, you know, massive content issues? I'm just trying to understand how big these errors are.
Just a misstatement. So at the top of page 15, for instance, it says the working group is of the view that a requirement to lock a domain name should only be the result of a formal notification by the UDRP provider after a complaint has been found administratively compliant. But if you look at our flow chart and everything we talked about, you know, it's we don't do the administrative compliance check before we notify the registrar of the need to lock. We talked about that we... And Marika actually clarified it in the strum and, like, in the actual, like, flow chart at the end. It says that we're just going to do a quick look review to make sure that it's a valid complaint. Then we request the lock. Then we do the administrative compliance check. So I suspect that this writing in here is some residual from before we had clarified that. So I just wanted to make that clear. And then I think if you look a little bit above that statement, it says one UDRP provider requires notification of the registrar, and I know we do, so that may be referencing to us, but I really thought WIPO did also, and maybe they could weigh in, but I think it may be that both WIPO and NAF both require registrar notification, but again, I could be wrong. I know we do.
Okay. Marika, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika, because actually, just on your last comment, are you looking at the latest version of the report? Because I presume you're talking about page 14, talking about the current situation, because we actually, what it says there now is two UDRP providers, the ADN, DRC, and WIPO, also require the complainant to submit a copy of the complaint to the registrar at the time the complaint is submitted to the UDRP provider. So you're basically saying that there it should have, we should add NAF as well, so it should be three UDRP provider.
Okay, I must not be. I'm looking at the March 5th version. Did you send one out after that? Did I miss a more recent version?
No, that is the latest one. But if you look on the screen, let me take control there. Maybe we're looking at a different paragraph.
Oh, maybe, yeah. I'll let you get us to the right page on the screen. Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, I have not on the screen, but I think the paragraph you're talking about. But basically, coming back to your question, I think that the consensus question is more about the recommendations themselves. I think all these kind of changes, and I think that's, you know, the one before last one on the agenda is indeed about those, that people have a thorough review and let me know if there are any indeed inconsistencies. And the point you referred to before is indeed a remainder from the previous report where we hadn't finalized that recommendation yet. So I think the idea would be to give working group members another couple of days to do that and send those changes to the mailing list so we can make those minor changes to the report to make sure it's consistent. But I think the consensus call is more about the recommendations themselves.
Okay. Can you scroll down to page 15? Because it was the top of page 15 that I had noticed that. So where you see it says one, the requirement, the third line there, as pointed out above, the requirement by one UDRP provider to serve the registrar. So that would be, we would need to make the correction that it's three providers. Then if ADN-DRC requires it also. And then it says beneath that, it says, like I think on the sixth line, it says the working group is of the view that a requirement to lock should only be a result of formal notification by the provider after a complaint has been found administratively compliant. And I believe that that was not the consensus opinion. We did not find that. In fact, your outline talks about how we do the initial validity look, and then we request verification, and then it's the administrative compliance check. So that's that first bullet point, bottom of page 14, top of page 15.
Right, I got that. So basically it should actually say after a complaint has been submitted for verification.
That's correct.
Yeah, it's Alan. We had decided something like that, but really we were saying the registrar doesn't have to lock until they are notified, although by the provider, although they they may lock earlier. I think that was the substance. So the timing, the last phrase is the part that was either in
that's
be omitted completely or changed.
Yeah, right. We could actually just take out the words after a complaint has been found administratively compliant, because we're talking. You're right, Alan. We're talking about the timing of the lock, saying which you lock after formal notification by the provider, though you may lock sooner than that.
Yeah.
Sorry about that. I'm going to go back on mute because Layla's weighing in here.
We're a family-friendly working group. Don't worry about it. We're not pet-friendly. We're family-friendly. Okay. Any other comments or input or thoughts on any of this? Marika?
Yeah, this is Marika. Just to clarify, on any of this, you just mean on the consensus question, or you mean the other issues as well?
Oh, sorry. No, I meant, well, both actually.
Okay, so if I can make a... Yes, it doesn't work again. So if I can make a point on the second part, because as part of the PDP rules, the working group is also required to provide feedback on the expected impact of the proposed recommendations. And again, there, I think, you know, part of our conclusions probably are there that, you know, we believe that this will, you know, helpfully clarify the process and, you know, address some of the confusion or issues that have arisen out of this. But if there are any other elements of impact that we need to notify, for example, you know, does this require UDRP providers or registrars to change their systems? Does this require, you know, additional communication or our outreach effort? Any kind of other expected impact that we may want to note as part of, you know, for example, the expected impact is as well, one of them I think we may need to call out is that, you know, it will require, you know, two of those will require a change to the UDRP rules. So that's something to, you know, call out as well. And if there are any other, and, you know, again, I can make a first draft there based on, you know, the point I just made, but if there are any other elements that should be added there, please let me know and we can add that to the report as well. And then again, that is another area where I think we will specifically ask for community input so that can be factored in for the final report, and then we're expected to have a more robust evaluation of how we expect these recommendations to impact the different parties and possibly provide as well some guidance when it comes to implementing the recommendations.
Okay. Alan.
Thank you. I was going to address what Marika was just saying. The only area that I see which might have significant impact, if and when we actually do it, is we were planning to compile a list of, again, that some part of it that was on my to-do list, which I haven't done, to compile a list of all WHOIS elements and identify their status of this may be changed. Can be changed.
I can give you a list of WHOIS elements already. That work was already done in the IETF.
No, I have the list, but it's assigning the categories to it.
All right, sorry.
And which ones may not be changed at all, if there are any. And depending on how registrars currently do the lock, that may impact, you know, that kind of thing. So it's not something we've done right now, so I'm not sure we need to refer to it. But it's something to keep in mind that one could end up having some impact on registrars.
Okay. Marika, oh glorious
yes.
Person who knows all the answers to all my questions about ICANN policy and process, aka the walking policy dictionary that you are, or encyclopedia, or manual. How much detail do we need to provide with respect to this impact stuff?
Ideally, this is Marika, ideally as much information as possible. But again, as we're here at an initial stage and we're putting these recommendations out for comments, I think the hope is as well that if there are significant impacts that we haven't foreseen or certain change that will be required. I think the expectation is also that that kind of feedback is hopefully provided as part of the public comment forum. So the more thorough analysis of the expected impacts or implications can be done as part of the final report. So again, it's a little bit of a balancing act here. We can try to identify what we believe may be the possible impacts, and as registrar, as Alan said, there may be an impact on registrars on how they currently log domain names. There may be an impact on complainants on how they currently file their complaints. There is probably an educational effort where there may be some more effort has to put in to make sure that, you know, registrars understand what the different processes are, what the requirements now are. But again, if there are any other areas that we already now know, we can add them. But otherwise, I think it's something as well that can be considered in further detail as part of the final report.
Okay. Just a couple of things. One, where in the report would you normally put that? I mean, do you put that in under each recommendation? Do you put it in separately? Where would you put it?
This is Marika. In the case where you really have indeed separate recommendations and you can identify for each of them a different kind of impact, it would indeed go with each specific recommendation. But as I've currently written it in section 6, I think I've put it at the end of that section on page 28, I've left there space for the preliminary level of consensus for these recommendations. Again, assuming that the assessment of the consensus will be done on the package and not on individual recommendations. But again, for a final report, there may be, you know, a difference in where people support certain recommendations but not others. But I think at this stage, or at least I haven't heard anyone talk to the contrary, I think we're making an assessment based on the whole package. And the same for the proposed recommendations. I think we're at this stage, probably it's easier to describe an overall expected impact of, you know, this whole package of recommendations, unless, of course, there are specific recommendations where people feel we can specify or clarify what the impact of that specific recommendation is going to be.
Okay, sorry. For somebody whose language first language is not English, boy, you speak it fast at times. Can we, in the introductory text for the comment period and everything, actually ask specifically for input on this area? I mean, rather, because the fear I would have is, okay, the report, without it being completed, without us filling in the level of consensus, without us filling in our expected impact as we currently assess it, is already running to 40 pages. So I would suspect that a lot of people who might be interested in this might not be able to read the entire report and are probably going to skim the kind of highlights. And just wondering, can we just call out that thing, you know, that we, you know, these are our proposals. We'd love to know what you think the expected impact is. I mean, I don't know. Is that feasible?
Yeah, this is Marika. What I can do, I can already start drafting indeed the text for the public comment forum and share that as well with the working group, so you can have a look at that and make any suggestions you deem appropriate or things that need to be called out. But I think typically, indeed, we do call out, like, you know, specific input is requested on this section or these issues, because I think as well in this case, you know, where we want specific input is on Section 6, the recommendations. And again, there, I think the expected impact is one of the other elements where we'll be looking for community input. So that's definitely possible.
Okay, thanks. Right. Okay, there's some quite interesting things on the Adobe chat there. I would, if I can start to try and capture some of that, because I think it does go to speak to some of these things that we have been looking at.
Yeah, and Michaela, before you go into that, because actually that's, I think, the last point on you know, items for review, and one of the, I think, still open items that is currently not captured in the report, but where we need to make a decision or determination if that's something we're going to include and call out, or whether it's something we're going to refer to as one of the items we'll look further into the final report, but we may want to ask for community input or indeed outline, I think, the two different processes that have been proposed. So I would let you get back indeed to the people that have been discussing to see if indeed there is a compromise position or agreement between, I think it's mainly registrars and UDRP providers on what is acceptable or what could be done as a compromise to address that issue.
Okay. Does anybody else have any input at this juncture? Working on the basis, as ever, that if you are silent, we assume that you agree with us. Okay, no movement. Right, now, we have a bunch of proposals here from Luke, there's two proposals, option A and option B. Do we want to offer both options at this juncture, or do we want people, do we want to put forward one option only? How married to these proposals are people? What are people's thoughts on these matters? Christine, good afternoon.
Well, good afternoon, good morning, good evening to everybody as well. My suggestion would be that we, well, I don't even know if I have a suggestion. I'm wondering if proponents of the different suggestions, because basically the main difference is whether or not the provider is going to be involved in either sort of rubber stamping the officialness of the settlement or at least notifying the registrar. I think Luke and the registrar's concern is that they could get some sort of fraudulent, you know, request, or that the registrar would not understand that there's really a settlement allowed. So some sort of correspondence from the provider would help the registrar know what's going on. The providers, and I'll, you know, take the liberty, I guess, of paraphrasing all of our viewpoints, but I think the providers are thinking, well, we don't have any authority to order a transfer apart from a panel decision, so the NAF or WIPO can't just call up a registrar or email a registrar and say, hey, the parties have agreed to settle, you need to implement that. So I think that's sort of the fundamental difference here. And I almost am wondering if the preference for the proposals would possibly run against, I don't want to say party lines, but I'm wondering if the registrar would really like Luke's proposal because it does provide the registrars with a little more certainty. And I'm wondering if the parties, meaning mostly the complainants, would prefer the way that things currently happen, because it doesn't require extra steps. It doesn't require them to notify the provider or wait for the provider to do something. And, you know, if they reach a settlement at the 11th hour and notify the registrar, there's no timing issues with respect to notifying the provider and making sure that the provider then gets the notice, forwards it on to the registrar, tells the registrar they can proceed all before the suspension or the stay period is over. So I'm sort of wondering if it would fall, you know, if it would fall into the two camps, you know, if that would be helpful for us. Like, I don't know that it would be helpful for us to all the registrars to side with Luke and all the, you know, complainants to side with, you know, the providers. So I almost wonder if it would be better to just make a proposal and let other people say what they like or don't like about it. I guess that's my long version of what I'm trying to suggest.
Okay, thank you. And now we have Ty, who is representing multiple people from WIPO, I gather.
Yes, hello, thanks. This is Ty. Thanks for everybody who's contributed to this. I know that we were talking about this last week, and so we had to think about the process from our perspective and what we thought was going to be something that we could do, what would be useful for the registrars and the parties. And I think, you know, noting that we see, and many registrars may or may not know, we see a lot of these suspension procedures. And as Christina noted, there's a lot of registrars who are fairly used, registrars and parties who are pretty used to a procedure. And in one thing, I think it would be useful to at least retain the option for parties to continue and registrars to continue if they're comfortable with it. Under the framework that currently exists, the way that I believe also NAF, what happens is that, as was stated before, the parties would jointly or the complainant would ask for a suspension in order to engage in a settlement. and then thereafter the proceedings would be suspended, and the parties may wish to then work directly with each other and inform the registrar who would then implement this transfer or cancellation of the domain name. And I think that in many circumstances, this appears to go completely fine. We typically would only receive any sort of confirmation at the end of such action that, you know, the transfer was successful or the domain name was canceled and that the proceedings may be withdrawn, or in some other circumstances the parties don't agree and they may reinstitute. So that's what we typically see, but I understand that, you know, there are certain parties and registrars that may wish for us to confirm that certain materials have been received. And from that perspective, I don't see a problem per se in adding a particular requirement, or not a requirement, but an optional procedure by which, if a registrar wishes, they can say, you know, please confirm that, you know, you've received these documents. We may be able to confirm that, you know, in fact, we have received a settlement or some sort of document that evidences the party at this email address has confirmed that they wish to transfer or cancel domain name, and that's been, you know, received or confirmed by the other party at this email address, and just notify that, you know, in light of the practice that maybe we develop here right now, that under this circumstance, the registrar may unlock the domain name for purposes of transfer in order to effectuate that particular aspect of a suspension, a settlement agreement. So in that light, I just wanted to basically come to the point where, you know, it's good for us, I think, to retain that aspect of the procedure that works, of course, for everybody that has been using such. And if they're happy to continue doing so, I don't see, you know, that why we should obstruct that if the registrar and the parties are fine with that. But if they wish to request further information, confirmation of receipt of these documents from the center, I think, although adding an additional aspects of our work over here, we're not necessarily opposed to that. Thanks.
Hi, it's Alan. I understand Michele has dropped off the call. I guess he didn't like what you were saying. So I will step in. So thank you for your intervention. Ty, is that a new hand?
Oh, sorry, no. I was a vestigial. I'm trying to take my cues from David here. I'm not a good student all the time with this terminology.
That's okay. Any other comments at this point? Marika.
This is Marika. My question is actually what we're going to do then with this specific issue. Christina suggested that maybe we just call out the two options, the one that has been suggested by Luke and the other one that has been proposed by Christine, as they're listed now in the agenda, and basically ask for community input on this, and know that, you know, the working group will discuss this further as part of their deliberations on the final report and based on any input received. Is that a agreed approach, or do people feel that we should put in one and not the other, or how do we want to move forward on this one?
Well, it's Alan speaking. In my opinion, since we are so close to trying to lock this report in, unless people feel that we could come to closure on a single one and do it very quickly, I think presenting both of them and asking for input is a reasonable thing to do.
All right, thank you.
Ah, Michele is back.
Michele is not impressed. I mean, Michele is going to go and twat people over the head when he works, finds out why the phones have stopped working.
Oh. So you're not really talking to us now?
I would be more happy. I'd be happier if you could just take over for a few minutes, Alan, if you don't mind. I'll be back momentarily.
I will keep on doing that then.
All right, thank you.
So is that position acceptable to all, or does anyone object to that? I don't see trying to have an in-depth conversation right now, and I think if we were to come to closure, it would require something close to an in-depth discussion. So I'm happy just to present both and go from there. Luke says yes, no one else says no, we have a decision. Marika, what else do we need to do? Since I didn't think I was chairing this meeting, I wasn't paying as much attention as I should. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Marika. I'm not aware of any other issues or comments that people have submitted with regard to the recommendations or the report. So from my perspective, I think the next step is for me to make the changes that we discussed today, the two corrections that Christine suggested, including the level of consensus, expected impact, adding these two options in relation to a settlement and specifying that these are open for community input and further consideration will be given to those as part of the next step in this process. And then basically get that back to all of you for final review. So I think that brings us to probably item three, and that's the question on how much time do people need to review the document and send any further edits or comments you may have back. My proposal there would be that we set next Wednesday as a deadline, which would then give us Thursday to discuss any items that may have come up as part of people's review of the report, which would then basically get us on time to publish the report and open the public comment forum on the 15th, which is next Friday.
And I presume you're implying doing a consensus call at the same time on the recommendations.
Right. The idea would be that I produce like a clean version of the report that can go out and basically say, well, at this stage we're calling this consensus. If anyone objects to that, let us know as soon as possible, basically.
Yeah. Sounds good to me. Everyone else comfortable with that? The deadline, the publication deadline is the 15th, is it not?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so that gives you a tight turnaround, but essentially, unless there is something major structural that comes out of it, there shouldn't be a real problem doing that. So I think we're good on this point. So I think we've just done number three then. What else do we have on today's agenda, if anything? I have one item, but we'll wait.
Yeah, this is Marika. On item four, for the next meeting, we actually have, if we stay at the same time as we currently are, the UTC time at least, we're in conflict with the GNSO Council meeting. So the proposal will be to actually move it to 1400 UTC, which I believe actually means for people in the U.S. it's actually at the same time as it's now, as you're already changing to daylight savings, while I think for those in Europe it actually means the call will be an hour earlier. I don't know if that poses any significant problems for anyone. I don't see any red axes.
I'm not likely participating regardless, so it doesn't matter to me. Michaeli, are you back?
I think my geeks have managed to thump things sufficiently, so I'm now back in again normally.
Okay.
But you're doing a wonderful job, Alan. Please continue.
I was about to call for adjournment, since I don't think we have a lot more to do today.
Oh, wow. I'm impressed. You're much more efficient than I am. Marika, you have your hand up. Go ahead.
Yeah, and if I can just add one more thing, because as some of you may know, there's actually a gap of like 3 weeks where I think we're out of sync between the times in the Europe and in the U.S. because of the change of the hour. So the proposal would be then, if we need further calls following next week, because in principle, of course, we're hoping to finalize our work in the next week, but we may need another call maybe to prepare for the session in Beijing, to leave that also then at 1400 UTC, which basically means that after Beijing, when we reconvene, we're actually back to our normal time, because by that time, both Europe and the U.S. will have changed, and should be back on our regular hour. So we're hoping that it won't be too confusing, and we'll make sure as well to put in very big, bold letters what the different times are for everyone. But please keep an eye on that, and hopefully we'll get enough people on the call and not people showing up late or too early.
Well, Marika, that brings up the question. Are we actually going to be meeting in the interim? If the report is issued, do we have anything to do on the 21st and 28th?
Yeah, this is Rika. I would think that we may need one meeting to prepare for the session, but that's something as well we can possibly do online, because I think the idea would be to, you know, prepare a presentation and, you know, possibly reach out to some of the stakeholder groups and constituencies to make them aware of the session. But, you know, we can maybe determine at next week's meeting whether we want to have a meeting for that or whether it's something we can do via email.
Yeah, I think in general, you're... Past history says you prepare a draft for a presentation, and a number of people make some minor comments on it. So I'm not sure we need a meeting for that, but I'll leave that up to our chair.
Sorry, you offered me a choice to do something. Oh my God, what was my choice?
Oh, whether we need a meeting to discuss to talk about preparations for the Beijing meeting.
I would say no.
Teleconference, yeah. I
would say no. I mean, look, people, come on. We all work in an industry where email and other things are pretty much in use all day, every day. If we cannot coordinate something simple like a face-to-face meeting in Beijing, then there's something seriously wrong and we should all just give up. But that's just me. Marika, you have your hand up again, I believe.
Yeah, this is Marika. As we have some time now, we can talk now about the Beijing meeting, because I think one of the questions may be on how to manage the presentation, because I think the idea would be to present the initial report, and it may be a nice idea to have several working group members possibly present part of our recommendation, so it really is well shown to be a, you know, consensus position. So I think the question would be then, you know, who is willing and available to do so, and then as well, it's just then a question of breaking down the topics and making sure as well that there's a sufficient time for people to ask questions and give feedback.
Okay. Right. In terms of time, Marika, I mean, how long is the slot we have? Is it an hour and a half or 2 hours?
This is Marika. They're standard an hour and a half, 90 minutes.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Now, I know, okay, I will be in Beijing, you will be in Beijing, Alan will be in Beijing, but might be tied up. Luke will be in Beijing, I believe. Volker is in Beijing. Laurie isn't in Beijing. Christine isn't. There's a few other people I think who I know who are. I mean, there should be enough of us there to do whatever's required. Now, so I mean, what the kind of thing we've done in the past at this kind of set of this kind of. Oh wait a second. So it's Thursday from 9 a.m. to 10:30. When is the gala? That's Wednesday, is it?
Yeah, normally it's on Wednesday evening.
So why do we get to be the ones who have a meeting the next morning after the gala, assuming that the gala is anyway good? We'd all have hangovers. That's just cruel, cruel and unusual punishment.
Just means there's no one around to criticize what we're doing.
Although, don't worry, there will be. If this call wasn't being recorded, I'd call them out by name. But then when they listen to the recording, they'll know I was talking about them, or at least suspect that I was, since they're paranoid anyway. Okay, so ideally then, based on what we've done at this kind of juncture in the past, and unless somebody has a huge issue with it, I assume what we would do is we would do a kind of a variation on the update that we will be giving to the GNSO Council at the weekend, and then open it up to questions. And I assume that's what would make sense. I mean, unless I'm missing something. Marika, am I missing something?
This is Marika. It would probably be the same, but I guess for the session we'll have more time, so we may want to go in a bit more detail, and especially I think emphasize those areas where, you know, we're looking for community input.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I mean, fine. I mean, what I would, I mean, much as I love the GNSO updates, I do find that some parts of them are kind of what's the word I'm looking for? They're just not terribly exciting. So if we could try to kind of focus on the bits that people might actually care about more than the bits that people don't particularly care about, and by that I mean the any kind of proposals and the potential impact bits, as opposed to a list of know, things that have happened in the past. You know, the history lesson part. Does anybody else have any suggestions or thoughts or input or crazy ideas? Does anybody disagree with this? Apart from Marika, who I know is going to disagree with me just to disagree with me. She's out to get me today, I can tell. I'm paranoid. Marika, go ahead.
No, this is Marika. I'm not disagreeing or criticizing. I was actually just wondering if there's going to be any of the UDRP providers present in Beijing, because I think it would be good that we have, if possible, have a balance between, you know, the different parties involved in this. I know Christine is not attending, but I don't know if any of her colleagues or anyone from WIPO will be there that will be able to participate.
Yes, this is Ty from WIPO. I'm just confirming I'm not going to get to go, but my colleague, of course, David, will be there, along with Joanne Tang, who will be also over there. So we'll have two from WIPO.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
And we've just heard there from NAF that NAF will not be attending. Okay. Anything else on this? Anything further? Alan, go ahead.
I have something further, but not on the report, or not on the meeting.
That's quite okay.
All right. In that case, I'd like to take the opportunity to tell everyone, in case you haven't heard, that Marika is now the lead policy person on the JNSO. Margie has gone over to strategic initiatives, and Marika has assumed that position. ICANN doesn't seem to deign to tell anyone about it, but I think we should congratulate her.
We should. Should we have a big round of applause? Maybe we should wait until we're actually in Beijing. We can give a massive round of applause and everything.
Well, but we can do virtual applause here.
Yeah, okay.
I meant on the Adobe screen.
Oh, sorry. Damn it.
So how do I do virtual blushing? I'm not sure there is a button.
There's no virtual blushing, but we'll just assume it.
Yes, we know you're modest.
So now
that we're kind of have this image in our heads of Marika sitting somewhere in Brussels with a great big red face on her. We can use the smiley icon emoticon from the drop down list. So Marika, just on that point, then does that mean that David Olive is the next person above you then, or how does that work?
Yes, David Olive is my manager.
So previously, who was your manager?
Margie.
Okay, so you've moved one step further up the pecking order.
She's now the new Margie, and therefore the new Liz twice removed.
So confusing. I hope they gave you a pay rise, Marika.
I hope so too.
And you can tell David I said that. And don't worry, when I do see him, I'll tell him myself. So I do think that a lot of the ICANN staff do stellar work and have no lives because they're doing stellar work, and they should be compensated accordingly. That's just me, though. Far be it from me to make any judgments on this. Right. Okay, then. Any other issues or other things that anybody wants to raise at this juncture? Okay, then. As you were all nice and silent, I will give you back about 8.5 minutes of your lives. Speak to you all. Sorry, I don't actually know what you decided in my absence since I was being phone challenged. Are we having a meeting next week?
We are having a meeting next week. I'm not likely here, and we will probably not have any other meetings till after Beijing is what we decided.
Okay, thanks. Sorry about the phone things. I've now been told why my phone disappeared. Seemingly our peering at the Irish Internet Neutral Exchange, one of our peering points flapped, to use the technical term. Bye-bye. Talk to you all soon.
Take care. Thank you, Michaela.
Bye.
Thanks. Thank you. Bye. Bye. Thank you very much.